Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is June 4th, Tuesday, 2000, whatever year this is now. I can't keep track anymore because I'm sober. It is the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself, and I'm back to piss people off. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, he only calls for free, so that's why I have him as a partner, because
are you finished patting yourself on the back?
You know I could go 60 more minutes talking about myself, so you better take your chance right now.
Yes. Is Sean Black in the building once again. Just remember, a pat on the back is 16 inches away from a kick in the butt. Keep that in mind.
And your favorite number is 69, and I wonder why. And on that note,
Lord,
we have Lady T, Queen T, in the house, y'all, and she just flew back today just from London, protesting where Donald Trump was at earlier today.
Was that supposed to be funny?
No, I'm just saying,
Okay.
I know he was in London earlier,
Oh, good grief.
I'm just saying.
How are you doing?
Goodness. Hey, y'all.
Okay.
Man.
This is going to be a trying hour for you, I can tell.
Let's see. Let's see how this goes.
I think he's
drunk. Oh, my God.
No, I think he's sober. That's the problem.
Lady T was ready to bring
Let's get
bring
him a drink, please. Let's get him a drink, someone, please.
No, I'm ready. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number? 347-989-8402. Let's
see,
get right
like
to
I
it.
Like I said, sober.
Yeah. Well, earlier today, like I said, Lady T was in London. Your boy, Sean Black, Donald Trump was in London. Yes, I know.
Don't
say that's
my
boy.
Name in front of that one.
Okay, my apologies. Your president, Donald Trump, was in London. And, of course, he did his usual press conference. And he said something that kind of scratched my head. Of course, there was a massive protest outside. But Donald Trump said it was nothing. He didn't see anything at all. It was only about, over 9,000 people in the area protesting Donald Trump. Now, why do you think Donald Trump was he trying to divert the attention away from the protest, or Donald Trump was being Donald Trump?
I think Trump is much smarter to some degree than most people give him credit for, as far as being able to either divert attention from one place to another or to put attention in something that he would like you, the supporter, to look at over what is actually being brought out there. We know that he's been in England for the last couple of days, mostly for the celebration, or if you want to call it a celebration, of what is going on as the 75th anniversary of D-Day, which is going to be, I believe, tomorrow. And that's going to be in Normandy, France, which is the storming of the beach in Normandy, France, 75 years ago. And the U.S. and England were allies in that war against and for that particular part of World War II. Now, we look at a lot of the things that have happened overall. One of those things that Trump did while he was over there is basically, I guess, from what I've been reading, is that instead of him being over there on quote-unquote business, he's basically been over there because he hasn't, I believe he was supposed to meet with the Queen earlier in the year or last year, but it was scheduled differently or whatever was the case. And this is the first time he's gotten the chance to meet the Queen. I think he is enjoying the pomp and circumstance of being quote-unquote celebrated by going over there as a sitting president and talking. He talked to the outgoing prime minister. They did a press conference, and the same person that he basically dumped on for the way that she handled the Brexit strategy. Then now all of a sudden he's all smiles and I think you're doing well and, you know, that kind of thing. And Theresa May, the prime minister. There are a lot of things that are going on. A lot of people are looking at it as diversionary tactics of him going over there while even not only just in the United States but over in the same country that he's in Europe, people are protesting against him and his administration for a lot of whatever policy that they're looking at. And he is not, by the accord of the people that are there, is not welcomed over there. And that's where a lot of that protest is.
But he's still popular. I just find it funny overall that a sitting American president, no matter where this gentleman goes, there's a protest. I mean, other presidents have got protests before, other leaders. But this is a massive protest. And you look like this leader that Trump might be president again in 2020, as Sharon and I talked about earlier.
Yes.
Nate T, are you shocked by any of this or just another day in paradise?
I mean, it's all fake news, right? How long is he going to use that term, fake news, but it's real news, and they're showing you the realness of the news. I don't understand it. How long is he going to do that? He's been stating that, you know, since his whole campaign for election. I don't know if he'll be president again. I'm hoping people will go out and vote, do what they need to. But as far as him, to me, he's like a smart manipulator. He likes to keep the focus and attention on himself. And as far as things with Theresa May and, oh, him being kind to her and so forth, people talk about you behind, you know, your back. They can never say those same things to you to your face. So to me, it's like he can't say what he said, you know, in the alleged fake news media about her to her face. So, of course, he has nothing other than to do, you know, than be nice to her. Show her kindness.
Well,
so, come on.
Well, I like that you say that because despite all of this, people, Trump supporters, still believe in everything that he said. And that's got me bewildered about everything. Now, not like whether you like Trump or not, or like some of the things he do, but some of the things that he say, I'm like, you really believe this crap? You really believe that we're not?
Yeah, but why not? Yeah, you just said supporters. And that's the key word. Supporters are going to continue believing you. They are your supporters. That's what they do. You can brainwash them all you want. They will not be brainwashed. They will continue to support you. They believe in it.
See, the thing is that most people are failing to get the gist of behind a lot of the Trump supporter that voted for Trump is the fact that the Trump supporter is born from the fact that there are real issues that the previous administration, that the Obama administration went in and were not able to get accomplished during the 8 years they were in office. This is where a lot of the attention is coming from. There are a lot of people that voted for Trump that aren't necessarily racist, that don't necessarily have the same views as him, but they voted for Trump because of the promises that he made, the fact that in a lot of the eyes of those people that they didn't get the things that they thought that were on the docket for them, that they might have previously voted for Obama in the previous two terms, and they didn't necessarily get the things that they were looking for. Those are the ones that feel like they weren't looked at, they were ignored. And then you have the deplorable comments that were made by Hillary Clinton during her campaign and some of the other things that happened. Those little things added up to that groundswell of people that might not have voted for Trump, but probably changed their mind and did vote for Trump. So what we're starting to see now is that the people that are voting for Trump, the ones that are supporting him are going to support him no matter what. There really isn't anything that you're going to do to change that diehard Trump fan, because as we've called it, that cult of personality, there are things that he can say, things that he can do that will appeal to his base, and they will show up and show out and be vocal and support him. Now, what we're starting to see now, which has happened a lot, we've seen, if you remember the G7 summit, was it last year? When all of the world leaders were meeting up with president with the president over things that were happening in the environment and all of the treaties that were out there. Do you remember that picture of Trump sitting down with his hands crossed while all of the other prime ministers and presidents and dissidents of other countries were looking down at Trump, and Trump just had his hands crossed almost like a child? And this is kind of like that mindset of it's me, the Trump supporter, against the world, against everyone else. And the only person that's doing anything to look out for you is Trump. And that's a lot of the message that seems to go out when Trump goes to rallies and talks to his supporters and talks to his base.
I'm just curious to know, if the Mexican wall does not go up, would they still vote him in again for 2020?
Yeah.
So you're talking about promises made. Every president makes promises, and some things they just don't follow through on it. So it's not just Obama made promises. It didn't go okay. I mean, Bush made promises, certain things he did not go through
of
with.
Course.
Trump, I still haven't seen this wall go up. Didn't he promise them that?
But Lady T, he will blame the Democrats for stopping the wall. I mean, remember, there was a big, government shutdown not too long ago, and who got blamed for that? Of course, they point the fingers at each other, but so he will use that. I guarantee he will use that. I tried to give you the wall, but Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, whatever her name is, would not let me get my wall. And that's why I shut the government down.
Okay, so then you don't have that much power, so I won't be punching a Trump ticket for 2020, but whatever.
Also, the other thing that we haven't talked about a lot in the last, well, we've spoken on it at times, but we're looking at the economy, which I think is one of the main things that the Trump supporter voted Trump on as far as being able to help the economy, based on his prowess as a businessman or the perceived prowess. There was a report that was done by Forbes magazine that showed that he lost more money in his businesses than anybody else in the United States. He lost well over $1 billion. And this is the person that is now the president that is going to actually be dictating certain policies and approving certain things within the economy to help economies out. And as we've been looking at over the last, I'd say probably the last year, he's been instituting certain policies and certain things that have happened, including the tariffs with the trade war with China and the other trade wars with Mexico that he's trying to do. And if you think about it, he's also using that as he's kind of weaponizing it to try to get what he wants in what Lady T talked about as far as that wall goes and the immigration thing that we've been talking about. He wants to actually put a tariff on Mexican goods going into and coming out of Mexico, which would actually hurt the United States much more so than Mexico. And he said he wants to institute, I believe, a 5% tariff on Mexico for every month that they don't resolve the immigration issue, which I don't know how that will go through or how that would pass the mustard per se. But if that's the case, it's going to hurt more of the people that live in the United States, the people that are in trade, the people that have businesses, factory workers, the ones that are actually doing the hard work and going and doing these kinds of things. It's going to really hurt the economy because things are going to go up more so than they already are.
And that's another thing he keeps interfering with, let's say, international affairs versus keeping things at home and taking care of things in the USA first. You understand what I'm saying? So you're picking fights here and there with other people internationally, and you can't even keep things going here as far as the money. We've been losing money since he's been president.
I agree with you, Lady T, but at the same time, you can't blame Trump. I blame the whole government on that, because both Democrats and Republicans, I believe in both parties, are not doing their job right. Because I'll get to you in a minute, K-Dog. Like I told Sean earlier, it's like, it's funny, we wasted millions and millions of dollars on the Mueller report, this hearing, that hearing, this hearing. But to find out what? Well, we already knew nothing is going to happen. So instead of using all that money.
We still don't know. I hope you know that. We still don't know about the Mueller report fully and the way Mueller worded it when he did his speech. We may never know exactly, and that's another thing. And the way he worded it, it could be or it couldn't be. but they cannot prove that. You cannot say someone did something and you don't have the proof on it as yet. You understand what I'm saying? That's like saying, okay, you're convicted of the crime, but you didn't even go to trial yet. So to say that, I'm drained with that Mueller report stuff. I don't even want to know about it, nor do I want to hear about it, because maybe things may come out later on when he's not president. And then we'll probably
find out everything. So,
I think the wording that was done with Mueller was that he and his commission that were doing the investigation could not necessarily do anything that would get the president either arrested, convicted, impeached, etc. But I think what he's done is tried to leave everything up to Congress. He did everything. He didn't say that he's guilty, but he also did not exonerate the president. And I think that the wording was left open enough that it's we're going to put it to Congress to do their jobs to take over where I've left off. Now, whether Congress actually does that or not, that's a different story. But Mueller basically said, with everything that's been done, we know one thing. We know Russia interfered. That's not disputable. We also know there are so many things that are there with the separate incidents that could be looked at as obstruction, but Mueller did not word it as such to say that this is positively obstruction based on the power that I do not have. The power that they need to have to enforce certain things in the report, he's leaving up to Congress to take care of. And I think that's where a lot of the consternation and a lot of the uncertainty lies in the definition of what the whole 400-page report was over.
Right, and he has to leave it open like that so that he preserves that information. So now if Congress wanted to go in and do something about it, that information is preserved. It's just like when you go to court, go to trial, you lose your case. Things that your lawyer said in your case is preserved on record, and that's what Mueller did. He preserved it on record, so they can go ahead and appeal it, or they can go ahead and investigate.
Exactly, and I think that's pretty much what he wanted to do with the entire investigation. It took 2 years to get to that point, but he did his press conference last week and said, everything that I've stated is here. I'm not going to testify unless something actually happens, and that's it. I'm going to private life. Leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered with this anymore.
That's the first time we've
even heard his voice, so didn't even know
what
he sounded like.
Nothing's going to happen. Like I told Sean earlier, you know what? Tisha got caught, went to jail. Sean Black got caught, went to jail. Cato got caught, went to jail. But the High Rod, I'm innocent, right? Well, all you guys work for me. So does that make sense? Everybody's guilty except for the main guy. It's like a true crime boss, indeed.
Remember what he said when he was running. He said, I can go out in the middle of Times Square with a gun and shoot somebody and still walk free and win the presidency. That's
and,
him.
That's the truth. Well, go ahead, Kato. Anything that you'd like to add on before we go to the next topic?
I was just waiting for y'all to finish with this damn topic, so go ahead and go on.
Okay, that's why I did not let you in early. That's it.
Yes, K-Dog is on.
Yes. But, okay, Lady T and I, we got into it last night, a nice little conversation last night about a couple of things. But first I want to add on this. Last week, over the weekend, I believe, there was another mass shooting, right, Sean?
Yes. Apparently, we have once more. This one happened in Virginia Beach at a municipal building just last week. 12 dead, including the shooter, which obviously is kind of weird, is the fact that a mass shooting and the shooter was African American. They showed a picture of him. I'm not going to name his name. But he, for whatever reason, must have been upset over something. I think that the news was coming out that that's what was the case. Went into a municipal building. And basically just started shooting people left and right until the police were able to come in. And he, along with the 11 people and other people that were shot, was among the dead. And this, as we've always seen, mass shootings, we heard everything from all of the other people that are out there that we need to have better gun control, we need to have this, we need to have that, including the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, who I think today went into had a press conference and was trying to go either among Congress or among his constituents and say, we need better gun control. We need to have some sort of background checks, at least to effectively have better background checks so these kinds of things don't happen. And there's still more news coming out of from this whole thing. So it's crazy. But like I've said before, it's not the first, and it certainly won't be the last, especially in this society.
Well, I just want to bring this up because I know a couple weeks ago we did talk about the abortion rights and the situation. I don't want to talk about who's for it, who's against it. My argument with this topic or the gun control versus abortion rights is how the government set that priority straight, how some states quickly go into abortion rights trying to change the law, trying to make it illegal. Wow, there's been mass shootings. They're going on for years now, years. And I know God knows how many times we talk about this topic. And this topic just does enough about it. It's like, what can we do? I just find it funny how, once again, people in this country, America loves guns more than people's lives in general. And I just find that amazing. So how other countries around the world, like New Zealand, they had a mass shooting, well, I believe, last year. And funny, within a week, they have stricter gun laws. While this own country, we have the most mass shooters in the world, and we still don't have strict gun laws. But at the same time, we have all these redneck states working fast, trying to go on abortion rights. Lazy, yes, you are right. Last night, I don't know all the courts system very well, so feel free to educate me on that. But I just find that how weird how this country, our priorities look backwards. And that's what got me upset. Like I said, whether you're for it or against abortion rights, we all agree there's a need for gun control laws. Lady T?
I just wanted to know why you're trying to put those two things hand in hand, because one is about one thing and the other is about another. You can't tell a woman what to do with their coochie. You can tell a person and, who can have the right to bear arms and so forth and do background checks on them. You cannot, to me, tell a person what to do with their body. Whatever they decide to do, that's between them and God afterwards, if you ask me. I'm pro-life, but I'm also pro-choice. That has nothing to do with me, what the next woman is going through, and I don't know the reason why she needs to have that abortion. That has nothing to do with me. I'm not in her situation to know that. So people always say, oh, okay, I don't believe in abortion, but guaranteed some people, and I've seen it before happen, guaranteed they get a situation, they're going for that abortion. So to say that, it's like none of my business what you do. I know what I want to do. As far as the mass shootings now that you just now speaking on, didn't America say you have the right to bear arms?
But do you have a right to live? A right to life?
You have a right to life also. They should have never said that, right to bear arms. All right, great. Now that people get these guns, they're not even doing background checks on the person behind that. And how can you specifically do a background check? Because what it seems like from what people that knew this guy said, he was okay. People confront like they're okay and they're mentally going through something. You have a lot of men that do not express what they're going through, having mental breakdowns and too afraid to say what they may be going through, whether they're depressed and so forth. They do not speak on that. There's guys that go mental. They will not speak on that until it's the final stage and you can actually see clearly through that. And God forbid, those are the kind of people that may have arms and may want to go out there and harm someone and do what they need to do. Who's bringing these arms in? You understand what I'm saying? And why isn't the NRA on top of it like New Zealand is on top of it? Because it's money-making to them.
I agree 100%. But I just find it funny that our government wanted to work on abortion rights, try to take the rights away from women. I mean, we all know there's a bigger plan to it besides women's rights overall. I mean, each state has their own agenda, whether it's white, black, whatever someone wants to think. But in America, I just find it funny how you cannot buy liquor until you're 21. You cannot buy cigarettes until you're 18. You cannot buy a lottery tickets to go gamble. But 16-year-old, and they did a video of it, a 16-year-old, like you just said, could walk into the gun shop, no background check, give a gunshot cast, person can walk out a gun. A teenager, 16 years old. Next thing you know, Sean Black will send me another text like he always do. Hey, Hot Rod, another school shooter.
And in what states are these? If you look at the states also, it's like a lot of the red states. They have all their freedom. It's like the red states, to me, you guys have all the freedom to do all of these things that other states are saying we don't want to be done. So why is that, though? Is it because of their politicians that's pushing these rights and saying, yes, it is okay, but then on the other side, when it comes down to it and they need to pass certain laws, they don't want to pass it, though, because it will affect their states.
Wow.
True. And those red states, I'm saying overall, in those red states, how some people like to, people like to pick and choose their battles. How can you be pro-choice? How can you be against abortion, like taking a life away, but at the same time you want an AK-47 to take a life away? You understand what I mean by that? Do you see that as an oxymoron?
That's a big oxymoron.
How is that an oxymoron? One thing you're purchasing, one thing you need to have sex in order to create.
So tell me
how is that when guns are man-made, and we're talking about babies that's made between a man and a woman, let's say.
I still don't get it.
Why are we even comparing it is what I'm saying.
The argument is in the sense of being somebody that is against abortion but wants to be able to use a gun, whereas you have in the eyes of many people, regardless of where you feel you are on abortion, the thought process for a lot of people is that abortion is killing. And in the eyes of most people, which is, and I remember I brought this question up the last show that we did, in that same sense, that if you can be pro-life, I'm going to be pro-life. I want to be able to make sure that the child that you have, whether it's of your own volition or not, that child has a right to be born. Whereas that same person will have that same mentality and then take it to the opposite end and say, well, if I have the ability to make sure that you can have this child, regardless, I should also have the choice to take a life with a gun.
Take your life.
Any gun that I choose, that I can find, illegal or not. And there's a huge juxtaposition in that mindset that if I have that same thought where I am so for saving a life, I can then go ahead and take a life with a gun for whatever reason is deemed necessary because of the Second Amendment, regardless of whether the gun that I use is an automatic, a semi-automatic, a pistol, a musket, anything. And that kind of is in that juxtaposition makes it look like you're kind of being duplicitous, because if you're the person that wants to make sure that you save lives, wouldn't you want to have better gun controls to make sure that people are being saved from being killed by rampant gun use, et cetera, not disputing what you're saying, Lady T, but that's the difference in opposition with that argument that a lot of people would make.
I got what you're saying, Sean Black, but my thing is, why can't it be peaceful all around? Okay, you're not, you know what I mean? You're not for taking a life with abortion, and you're not for gun violence, but we're not the ones bringing these guns in. That's what I'm saying. The government has total control to me on that. It's just like me saying, okay, I could have an abortion. Why not? Because they're killing black men anyway with these guns. So it's like, come on. One, you're totally responsible for. One is your responsibility. You have the hand on one of them. The other one, you do not.
Right.
Why is it that the NRA is not pushing as hard as that, is what I'm saying, in these same states that this constantly happens, where they are allowed to own these weapons, where they are allowed not to go with the background checks? tell me why.
You know what it is? It's different laws in different states, and that's the sad part about it. And
but that's my point.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that the NRA has some of these politicians in these states in their back pocket. We've seen it time and time again, and it's a sad reality.
It's about money.
It comes down to the money.
But like my car told me earlier today, the problem with this gun control, because there's not one general rule. Like you say, Kato, different states have different laws. If our government came up with a general standard rule, it could be a little bit. I'm like, the gun control, gun problem will always be there. Let's be real. You will get a gun legally or legal, but it will be some type of control, and that's what we basically asking for, control. Now the government should worry about gun control and not worrying about telling people what to, especially women, what to do with their body.
Exactly.
That's my argument right there. And
which
that's
goes
why
to the hypocrisy of the original argument.
But you know what's the sad part about it? They're not going to bring it up because, once again, the NRA has these politicians in their back pocket. And then plus, now you have all these groups and in those states. Now, mind you, allow me to bring this up, but you have a lot of these quote-unquote religious conservatives who are bringing all of this into play, like saying, oh, if by getting an abortion, it's an abomination, it's wrong, it goes against all against God and stuff like that. That's all they're saying. That's their argument. And I'm like, wow, you're being a hypocrite, but yet you're not going to vote for gun laws? You understand?
Whatever happened to separation of state and religion too when you're passing these laws? Why can't politicians do what they need to do? Because the religion is also hypocritical with certain things.
It's very hypocritical.
Well, and so is the politics.
So
we also remember almost every politician, whether they're Democrat, Republican, or independent, unless they're on the docket with being atheist or agnostic, they always will bring their faith into whatever they're doing. And as I've said before, there's nothing wrong with using that as a basis for your own life. My problem is when you see certain politicians going in and using their religious background to actually dictate a law and use that power to besmirch other people because of the religion that they follow. It's the same way that there were a lot of politicians who came out as gay, were putting in a lot of laws that were actually hindering the gay community. And those are the kinds of things that are kind of make you scratch your head. Like, okay, if you are gay, you would think that if you're going in to office, you would either try to work with legislation or at least be able to hear and speak and talk to other people that don't have those same rights to maybe try and do something that may open that up instead of closing everything off. The same thing here, and what we're talking about now is that people use religion to go ahead and use that as the basis to close down a lot of avenues because that's what their constituents want. And that's not always the case.
That's another thing. You have some Republicans that may not agree with the laws as far as with the guns and things like that, what's going on right now, but they're too scared to stand up and say so. They'll get backlash from other Republicans.
Can you blame them
on that? You understand
what
I'm saying?
Can you blame them on that overall? Like, you know, if you're back against the wall, can you blame them for not speaking up? Or what's the point having a job if you cannot speak up for your rights?
Yeah, and that's another thing. They're concerned about keeping their job. That's another thing. So you have very few that still will stand up.
That's one of the reasons why you don't hear a lot of Republicans talking about impeachment. Yeah. You notice the impeachment word has been kind of bantied around back and forth here and there, but no one is really going hardcore on it. And it's only up until the last couple of weeks we're starting to hear about that being an option. But you almost only hear, I think, maybe one or two Republicans have uttered the word. If such and such happens, then I think that impeachment process is a realistic such and such and such. But they're not going out of their way to do it. And the reason why is, like you said, that it's almost political suicide. If you go against your own party, especially the Republican Party having the presidency right now, if you go out of your way in the next 18 months of the president's current term and say something against that, the only people saying anything negative about the current administration are people that are outgoing, ones that are either not
right.
going to run or those that are
right.
getting out of office. You don't hear
mm-hmm.
anybody
yeah.
with the current
yeah.
of their
nothing
conviction to say anything on the docket while they're in office.
So they have nothing
right.
to lose, you're saying.
What was that?
They have nothing to lose.
Exactly. They have everything to gain and nothing to lose by keeping their mouths shut. But if they say
okay.
something, that's a completely different story, because then, as we have seen, anything that is perceived as a negative slant towards the president and his administration is met with a vigorous, vigorous tongue lashing through social media, through other ways, maybe stifling a constituent's funding for certain things. There are certain ways that they can trickle down to harm you. And those are the kinds of things that we've seen over the last maybe 18 months or so.
Well,
and now that's kind of
an
oxymoron because of the whole make America great, but you can't even stand up for America and you're Republican. But okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
again,
the problem.
Once again, I'm not disagreeing, but a lot of people say that's your opinion. This country is great. It is great for us. It's great for a lot of
people. It's great
for
who it
white
works
men.
For. It's great
it, yeah,
for
it depends
who
on what
for.
Side of the
yeah.
coin you're on.
Yeah,
exactly.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
So I'd like to go to the next topic. Sean Black, your boy, Harvey Weinstein, as we predicted and talked about a while back, he kind of like walked away. And the settlement of $44 million with the victims.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were you shocked by this at all, Sean Black?
No, not at all, because we know that extremely rich people that have their own huge amount of, almost like a war chest of money, can
oh,
do
I'm
those
sorry.
Kinds
excuse
of
me.
Things.
Excuse me, Sean Black. While you're talking, you know who I'm going to refer this to. So you go. You want to add on to it, go right.
You go right. You can. You go ahead and jump on in on that one. You tell them what you're saying.
So basically, Harvey Weinstein, there was victims, there was evidence, there was a court case, settlement of $44 million. Who did we talk about in the past many times, claiming innocence, refused to testify, yes, but is in jail right now? Having some good pudding right now. Oh, Bill Cosby.
Yes. I'll say a certain entertainer, somebody that made a lot of
money.
Yeah,
was America's dad.
America's dad.
He was known as America's
compared
dad
to,
at one point.
Well, compared to Harvey Weinstein, and we did talk about this in the past, the comparison, and the fair and the treatment. And I know you're going to hate this question, but was it because of Harvey Weinstein who was the restart of the Me Too movement?
To some degree, I think.
To some degree.
I don't say that he's the actual start of it. I think
restart.
Maybe.
Well,
I think this is what I think.
Nationally known because of Harvey
yes.
Weinstein and
yes.
what he did.
And mostly because of the power that he wielded, because he has such, his hands are in so many different pots, as they would say, in Hollywood, between producing, having his production company, funding money for films, movie studios, actors, agents, et cetera, et cetera. So he's all over the place with his money and his influence. And when you look at all of the things that he's been, quote-unquote, responsible for or connected to over the last, say, 30 or so years, that shows you how much money influence he's had over Hollywood, over television, movies, and that kind of thing. So to see where the money goes and all of the things that have been going on, you'd think he'd be in, quote-unquote, in jail by now based on all of the accusations and the allegations that have been brought out there and the lawsuits that are showing. Now, as I stated before when we last talked about Harvey Weinstein, it's eventually going to happen, but it's going to take a while because these things just started to really come out over the last couple of years, even though the allegations have been floating around for a while, whereas the Cosby stuff that happened, this has been going on as far as in the public eye, people knowing about this has been going on for years. And even comedians had joked about this stuff way before
mm-hmm.
the allegations became mainstream. So that was in the process of working. The Harvey Weinstein thing, even though he's done the settlement, I don't think that's the end of his woes, because I think he's going to eventually be some kind of trial or something along those lines will probably end up happening, and he will get whatever is coming to him. I don't know when that is. I don't think he's going to be walking free for the rest of his life, if that's where we're going with this discussion.
And that's one thing we're talking about. One person did a trial, one person did a settlement. So that's the outcome of him not going, you know, before jurors and so forth. So he settled out and did that. I mean, to me, Bill Cosby could have did that, but if Bill Cosby said he's innocent, that's what you do. You take it to trial. You already know that there's a chance that they can convict you when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't
and
settle because
he
felt like he was not guilty of those charges. One person stood up for the other, you know, for himself, and the other person chose to pay this off.
I'm looking
right now.
There's
no surprise about that.
Yeah.
No surprise about it, because this is what it was. I mean, let's face reality. Harvey Weinstein, you know, Bill Cosby, and mind you, did Bill Cosby testify during the trial? No, he didn't.
And that was on the advice of his lawyers.
The lawyers told him not to
even
testify.
Even though he wanted to defend himself in court, but it would make no sense for him
cause more damage to defend it, because you know what? There would be those lawyers would eat him up.
Especially after the deposition from 2005 was opened up in court. So he's already on the docket and saying that he did, at least to some degree, A, B, and C. So that could come back in the court of law against him.
Oh, of course, because that's why that was right for his lawyer to say, hey, listen, look, Cos, if I were you, Mr. Cosby, do not testify at any, you're not taking the stand.
But let's add someone else to the mix. R. Kelly. He got indicted finally for 21 counts of child charges.
They added 11 more over the last couple of since last week. I think they added 11 more.
Yeah,
counts.
11 more counts.
There you go. A downfall of another black man. Well, I have to vote no race into it. Yeah, well, Harvey Weinstein, a white Jewish person. Basically, even though I understand what he is, Sean, that he still might be in trouble, but most likely he's walking away. Whether he's paying $44 million, $60 million, he's walking away compared to Bill Cosby, and most likely R. Kelly. They go right in jail forever.
For now, he's walking away until one of those people say, no, let's take this to trial. No, we will not take that settlement. That is how that would work. They chose to take the settlement.
And yes, but maybe Pete. Excuse me for saying this, but does that defeat the purpose overall of pressing charges? Like, listen, Harvey Weinstein raped me, and now I'm taking, quote-unquote, I don't know the whole story, hush money for this? What's this about women's rights, you know, stand up for you, what you believe in? What's the point of making a report to take to jail or to make money out of it?
It could be both. It can really be both.
So,
there's a lot of people, when that money is in front of them, they will sell their soul for it. What does that say?
Mm-hmm.
That you're not really for the cause.
And thank you. And that's what I was really aiming at. It's like, wait a minute. Let me try and get this person in trouble. Let me, you know, for the wrong thing he did to, not just me, to all the victims out there. Oh, he's 10 million. Oh, I don't see nothing. Like Michelle and I always say, my monitor went out. It went blank.
Listen, it's just like what we were speaking about earlier with the arms and why certain Republicans aren't speaking up. It's all the same thing. When certain things are proposed to you in front of it, why you should not do it or why you should take this money, some people will go for it. There's some people who will really stand up for their rights and say amount of money can take that.
And then there's some things that I've... Yeah, go ahead,
The thing is, when it comes to the money, it's like, they see that money and say, let me keep my mouth shut. I'll try to keep my mouth shut because, wow, that money's right in front of me. I'll take the money. It's like you're in a game show, and the game show host say, would you rather take the money? Yeah, I'll take the money, you know?
But
you
also,
it defeats the purpose of all this. Sorry about it. I don't see the point.
here's the thing. There are a lot of people that go to court or go to trial and are faced with the possibility that taking somebody to court, there actually is a possibility they could lose. And when you have the specter of court fees and paying off your lawyer and then paying taxes and all of the other stuff that has to go on, a lot of that factors into, you know what, I was, quote-unquote, let's say, for argument's sake, the person was raped, alleging a rape by Harvey Weinstein. They have proof, but the proof may be just circumstantial. It's not a, quote-unquote, strong enough case. Here comes the settlement. The lawyers are coming. I'm going to talk to your lawyer. We're going to have this X amount of money on the docket. What are you going to do? Or are you going to risk going to trial, having all of the pain that you've alleging that has been suffered in the courtroom on trial, and then Weinstein walks, and then, quote-unquote, nothing happens as far as the justice that you're looking for. So a lot of cases are really independent on what that person is trying to get through the courts. Are they trying to make sure that they know what kind of person Weinstein is by taking it to trial? Or are they looking at the possibility that going to trial may actually bankrupt you? That's one of the things that a lot of people don't think about when these kinds of cases go along.
True.
And don't forget, you had certain victims also who he actually dated and things like that, where he could have said, oh, you know, you agreed to do such and such, you know, because you wanted me to help you with this movie. I forgot what her name was when the Me Too movement first came out. He put her out there like we were dating and she wanted something for exchange. You know what I mean? So
it's also destroying
the person's credibility that they can be afraid of to go to trial. They may say, okay, let's settle out of court. And it's done. You think it's done.
But what about the R. Kelly or Bill Cosby? It could be the same situation in that case too. We don't know.
Well, with R. Kelly, R. Kelly's evidence was out there. You got to remember that. It was out there in the public eye, and everybody.
But it still went for a settlement. Remember back in, 20 years ago?
It was still a settlement.
Even though the evidence is right there in the VHS tape, selling on the black market for $10, which Shaw bought a copy for me, it was right there in evidence.
Well, this new one with Sparkle's daughter, I doubt he's going to be settling because that's clear as day. That's clear as day. So I think he's going down this time. So it really doesn't matter.
And
Harvey Weinstein, I'm sure it's not the last of him that you're going to hear. And I'm sure one of these women or several of these women will do the same thing that they did in the Cosby case, and they're all going to, you know, speak on it and go to trial with it. So I don't know. And they're probably still going to get payments after that as far as being a victim. They still will be getting paid regardless.
Is right about this. Like, you know what, if I talk, it might ruin my career or so-and-so career. So, you know what, I mean, just shut up and take the money.
And that's a lot of the balance that a lot of people have to consider. Why go through the pain
in the first place? Why go through this in the first place then?
Well,
why just shut it up in the beginning?
You have to understand, a lot of women have had enough of the males that have all the power, that have done everything that they possibly can to damage, besmirch, and step on women to get to their place of power, and are doing everything that they can to keep that power. And the women that are there have seen the President of the United States, the most important job potentially in this world, and he has been alleged to have gotten through a lot of things and is still there in his place of power. And there are a lot of women that resent the fact that a male can do these kinds of things egregiously and in a lot of times blatantly and arrogantly in the face of everyone else and get away with it.
Yeah.
That's what I think a lot of the underlying idea is enough is enough.
It's called enough is enough. They're like, all right, we've seen enough of this. Now it's time to fight.
Okay. 210, welcome back.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. What's going on?
Hey, Brother B, what's going on, bro?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brother B. He's the defense lawyer for Bill Cosby. So go ahead, Brother B. Talk to him. Hey, what? I think I have the perfect topic for you, Brother B, for the last 10 minutes. that everybody on Facebook, on social media, has been talking about the Netflix movie with the Central Park Joggers. And I posted that I'm not ready to watch this thing yet because of the emotions that will probably be running in my mind, being angry and everything. Have you seen the movie yet? And if not, what is your thoughts overall so far?
Well, no, I haven't seen it yet. Actually, I haven't seen it yet. And I'll probably watch it tomorrow. I just feel like this, man. I won't watch Monsters Ball because of, you know, what I've heard about the sex scene, and then she turns around and wins an Oscar for it. I won't watch Rosewood because of certain reasons. But this I will watch because at the stage in life I am now, especially, you know, I've been doing security for like 26 years, and I've worked around a lot of law enforcement types and people and agencies, and you know what? I already see how they feel about us. I get it. I mean, I have a job where I work with a firearm. My family are concerned every time I leave out the door. And it's not so much for the people on the street, but it's the people on the other side of the law. You know, the way they look at me, like, why should you have a gun, Negro? Like, what makes you, you know, what makes you special? Or you think you're tough, or you think you're better, or you think you're one of us because you carry a gun and you go to work, or you have a job, or, you know. So I get it. It doesn't make it right, but I get it. But it's all about ego. And who we are and who we've always been in this country that they made up is nothing, because their whole attitude was then and still is, we were never supposed to go past the chains. And that type of attitude will never change, even with the millennials coming in. It's already continuously being taught. We were never supposed to go past the chains. We were never supposed to be any type of people of any real stature. We're not supposed to be in the economic field. We did nothing. We're not supposed to be anything except for their footstools. So
if people watch this movie and they get angry, is that part of the chain that you're talking about? Or, you know what, we need to allow our anger, you know, and work on it.
Well, my thing is, what is there to get angry about? I mean, my whole thing is this. We all knew what happened. If anybody, listen, get mad at, you know, at this BS president who till this day will still not acknowledge or apologize for anything that he said about the Central Park Five, and he was totally wrong. But what's the purpose of really getting angry? We can get angry all we want, but we still messing with them. Like, you're talking to a person who at the age of 44 – doesn't believe. I'm at a point where in life where we should have never been segregated. There shouldn't have been a segregation. We should have just stayed on our own. We would have been better off. That's how
you're
I think. Because now that we've integrated, I mean, look at the situation. It's like sometimes I feel that we are no better than where we are before. We're not as united and solidarity as we was before. Now we're just all over the place. We're kind of acting like their offspring. We're running around trying to straighten our hair, running around trying to be like them, running around chasing money and doing all this other stuff. Like, our family structures are different. Who we are as a people is different. So who they are is totally different from who we were born to be in this world.
Lady T, a response?
On what was the question?
Well, no. Have you seen the movie yet, or are you thinking about seeing this movie?
No, I haven't seen the movie yet. I do want to. Well, the Netflix movie. I do want to see it because I watched their interview when they were on CBS with Gail, and I watched their body language and listened to their hurt and pain as far as with them being incarcerated for something that they did not do. And one thing they spoke about the minute that they came in, obviously they all were not at the same prisons. But the minute that they came in, people automatically knew, oh, these are the Central Park Five, such and such and such. That was, you know, the gossip. And people were ready for them in prison. You understand what I'm saying? You didn't do this crime, but you're certainly doing that time in there and going through the hardship. And to watch them as grown men right now, and when you watch their body language, only one of them was able to look into the camera and actually talk to the reporter while one head was down. They're going through things emotionally. And anybody that knows anyone that has been in prison, and when they come home, you are not the same.
But you know what?
So I couldn't imagine them being,
You know, real quick, you know what bothers me about what you just said, Lady T? It's not so much what you said, but it's what you're saying. Someone is going to profit off of their pain, and it's not us.
Yeah, and it's not us, but that's what I'm saying. They're still going through pain.
Yeah, exactly. But it's on top of pain, because now some white person or somebody came to them and said, hey, let's kind of turn this into something. So that way the world will know, like they want to sensationalize it to make them feel better. So we can get
you and they're not feeling better. And that's what I'm saying. From their interview,
you can
tell, like, only one of them could have speak up for all five. You understand what I'm saying? They're still going through stuff. One of them even said he's still going through, I guess, it's like post-traumatic stress, sort of like when you come out of combat and war and stuff and you come back home.
Well,
he described it as that.
Yeah. So
because what happened is all of them are in jail because of not necessarily a lie per se. Something did happen, but what happened was the fact that all five of those gentlemen were basically made to, their truth was turned into a lie and
I
got them into jail.
That was
they had
everybody
to,
upset.
Yes,
that was
and the thing
everybody
is,
upset.
What I think happens is now when you look at what they've gone through and what they have to continue to go through, even though they've been exonerated, and we all know the actual truth, they have to live within the lie that was built around what they had to live in, that bubble that they had to live in while they were in jail, while they were looked at as being guilty. And there's an expression that I read that sums this up, that a lie will run around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes, meaning that
of
that
course.
Lie that was perpetuated floats around a million times until the truth actually comes out. And even when the truth is out, it doesn't necessarily exonerate you anyway.
But
let me
just
say this.
Go ahead, last word.
Yeah, okay. The sad thing about that case is what was done to them, especially that they were coerced into lying. You know, they saying, oh, if you confess this, we'll let you go home. And turns out, look what came out of it.
But now my question is, what came out of it is, are any of those cops, judges or whoever, DAs, whoever, are any of them going to suffer? Are any of them going to,
Did
the prosecutor step down, resign today from the organization?
She left social media. She got off social media.
Oh, she's not on social media. Okay.
What does that mean? That means nothing. They still go on with their life. They don't care. It's another case to them. Hey, another case won, another case overturned, another case lost. What do they care?
Exactly. They care nothing about it.
Lady T, going back to what you said earlier, you know, which is like a lot of people are not looking at exactly what you said, but the other part is this. There are people out there that are saying, so what? Who cares? They're still animals. They shouldn't have been involved at that time.
Yeah,
they shouldn't have been doing this. They shouldn't have been doing that. Or else, if they weren't in the park, it would have never happened, and they would have had happy lives. But they shouldn't have been in the park. Where were their parents? Where was this? Now, see, you get where I'm coming from? There's
always
that wants to try to twist it. Always.
Oh, okay.
And the truth isn't enough.
Yeah,
like
really sad.
On Black, the truth is still putting on his shoes.
I don't know what to say. It's just a very sad, crazy situation about this overall. But as always, Brother B, Lady T, K Dog, and unfortunately Sean Black, thank you. And also Sean Black, Brother B have praised you a lot and said that you should be running for president. You'd be a good guy at it. We could be the next president of the United States. That's what the world would be then. Sean Black is full of crap. He's a typical politician. That's why he'd be a great president.
I actually care about people, which is a difference with a lot of politicians. So.
And listen, his vocabulary is strong. Vocabulary alone gets my vote.
Thank you.
I'll die alone. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.